This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
One thing quickly first, just seeing from Canadian journalist Rick Westhead, who's been, he's not someone whose name I know well, but he's been a strong voice on the Blackhawks story. He just tweeted a few minutes ago that on SportsCenter, that'd be TSN tonight, the player at the center of the sexual abuse scandal will be interviewed, and he has asked TSN to reveal his identity.
Oh, wow.
So, that's tonight.
Wow, that'll be heavy.
Well, I was swiftly corrected earlier when I said that Sal has not been on our show in a while because, just selfishly, I left out Monday, because I wasn't here. Turns out at that point I hadn't been on the show in a while either. So, but we're happy to have, I think I speak for Bulldog, Sal Capaccio with us here on the West Her Hotline. Sal, how was your trip?
It was great. It was awesome. I know when I was on without you, I told Bulldog there that we took a trip to Kennedy Space Center, and it really blew me away.
Yes.
It was really cool. I had never been there before, so it was really nice. It was short, but it was good. Came back, dude, perfect Saturday night. You know, went to the Sabres game Monday night, so we've still been busy, but yeah, it's been nice.
Did Max do that green screen where he looks like he's an astronaut looking up at, you know, the moon or something?
No, but they do a picture before you get on the bus to go over to the launch pad area where they do a green screen behind you, and they do one where it's just like NASA something, and then you cover your ears because there's a launch going on basically behind you. We did that as a family.
Right. They make you, they take that picture. Now you can go in.
Yeah, exactly.
We have this picture of you that we will try to sell you at the end.
Yes, which we never really buy. We've only done one time we've bought that picture. That was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like 4 years ago.
I bought, you know, at Disney, there's that Toy Story ride where you shoot at the targets.
Yep.
I bought that picture once with, I think, my daughter and me in it. I never do this, but I'm buying that picture where it's just us, like this shocked face, just this can, you know, this quick shot they take of you as you're riding on that ride.
That's great.
All right. Well, your trip is over. The Bills bye week and break is over. Joe just had this nugget about trade speculation that is coming up.
Yep.
Do you think it's reminiscent of some of our conversations before the season started? Like, hey, they're really deep at defensive end. Something's got to give here. Could you see a trade?
I could. Boy, when the name Jerry Hughes gets thrown out, though, that's tough for me to swallow because, you know, he's the longest tenured Bill here. Him along with Reed Ferguson are the only two players left on the team who are here during the Rex Ryan era. And, you know, for him to be with this organization this long is as much as they feel, and I know they feel he's a leader, he's a guy that's really helped them, he still has some good metrics for pressure rates and things like that. To pull that cord now, I don't know. It wouldn't sit right with me right now. I mean, I'd have to see what it is and why. It's not like you need the salary cap space or anything like that. So you better, you know, Mario Addison's a little different. You know, he's been here a couple of years, and sure, if another team wants him, they feel they need a little veteran presence. I understand you can trim some of the fat, so to speak, at the position. I mean, every week, look, AJ Epenesa's inactive. You know, whoever, Boogie Basham, would want to get on the field. I have a tough time swallowing Jerry Hughes at this point, you know, if that's the case.
I'm inclined to agree with that, Sal. Addison is very different than Hughes, just on tenure alone, if not performance too. As
right.
I say, Addison isn't a helpful player, but man, to be, I would guess that, and I know the guys are hardened, and it's pro sports, and you know it's business, and that's what everybody says when things like that happen, and there's truth in it. But man, I would think, I would guess it would not go over really well with this group if Jerry Hughes, after all the time he's been here, and they feel like they're close to going to the Super Bowl or winning a Super Bowl, like that's what this year is all about, and you're going to trade him for what? I mean, a third or something? Like what are you going to? I don't know. There have to be some corresponding move that you're going to improve something else on your roster. And I don't know what that spot would be, Sal, but, man, I don't think it would go over well. My guess would be with the players if they move Jerry Hughes off this team right now.
I agree. And he is still a starter. He is someone that no matter who is opposite of him every week, which seems like it's Greg Russo now, he's still a guy that, you know, you rely on. And you're right. I think to go all this way with him, for all the roster turnover they've had since 2017, and especially after 2018, or after the 2017 season into 2018, for all that roster turnover, for everybody they got rid of this team who was on it, this is the guy that's stayed here. This is the guy that's been here. This is the guy that, you know, they've said, you know what, he's still a part of what we believe in here. And he's a pro. Jerry's a pro's pro. He really is. He fits everything you want. So, and you're right, Bulldog, in the locker room itself, it'd be hard to see that going over very well. I'm looking at his salary cap numbers right now. You know, it's a little different because of this time of the year. His base salary is $6.1 million, so the next team would be responsible for like four something. You'd be saving that on the cap, but I can't imagine at this point that would matter that much.
So, Sal, I was thinking about this question earlier today, and I was struggling with how I wanted to word it. You know, we've talked from time to time about how if the Bills are able to sort of pull away in the division, or maybe they're even, you know, we're at this sort of mindset in September with the competition they faced, how, like, whatever form it might take on, like, you hold stuff back, whether that's plays or formations or just whatever, like, this idea that maybe New England, for example, over the years didn't show you all their cards until the playoffs, and then you get them in the playoffs, like, oh, we haven't prepared for this, that kind of thing. I want to find out first if you agree with the premise.
That during the regular season, you hold things back, maybe for a certain game?
For a certain game. We did get that on the Bills-Chiefs game, right? We got that they had planned for a long mm-hmm. time, different looks. So we know this exists sometimes in the league. It's just why I'm struggling to phrase the question is, like, we all look at the Bills schedule and go, like, come on. This is a joke. Miami, Jets, Jaguars here coming up. But we also know that the team never acknowledges that. Right? They fight that off.
Sure.
They fight that,
yep,
whatever temptation there might be to think like this is an easy game. They always are in denial about it. What's real here? Like, would the Bills play these next few weeks out a certain way? And how do you do it if you wanted to?
So I think I understand exactly what you're saying, Mike. And I would say it this way. You always have different things that you have in your back pocket that you are saving or ready to use that you only pull out if you need to pull them out. A game like this, if you don't need to pull it out, don't pull it out. The game like next week, same thing. They're not things that you necessarily, now there's week-to-week game planning, there's week-to-week where, hey, this might work against X team or whatever. That's fine. But, for example, fake punt against New England last year, right? I bet you New England did to them in Buffalo the year before. They wanted the fake punt, knowing how, you know, they're going to New England. They're trying to, this is our division now. I don't think they wanted to show that until they got to New England. Like that, but you know what? They would do it if they needed to. But we don't want it. We do not. We're going to work on this. We are not going to show this. We are not. We're saving it for the New England Patriots. That is our game to do this. But if it happens before the season, before that, and we're in a tight game and we feel like we have to do this, we're going to do it. And I think that's the approach this week, which is in the next few weeks. Hey, we got these things we can do. Why show them? Now, there's the inverse as well, which is, and this is true, this happens, they could do things against these teams where there's more margin for error, so let's put it on film so that teams down the road have to prepare for it, even though we'll never actually use it.
Right, yeah. Like, I like the idea of having something in your hip pocket, but you don't want to use it if this game is like we think it's going to go, right? Like if you're,
right.
if you're you know, winning by 17. But if for some reason it doesn't go that way, and in the fourth quarter you're only ahead by 3 or you're down by 4 or something, like, hey, you know that thing we've been working on? Yeah,
yep.
Now, right?
That's exactly.
Because,
right.
You know, you want to win the game, right? I mean, so if you've got something that will work and the timing's right, then, okay, well, we'll have to come up with something else to surprise somebody with down the road here, and hopefully you have enough of a reservoir of those kinds of things that you can keep going to it.
And again, it, how many times can you go back to those things? So you have to mix it up. So, you know, Dallas on Thanksgiving, they hand it to John Brown. He throws it to Devin Singletary. I mean, that's something that even, if I remember correctly, Brian Daboll basically said, yeah, that's something we work on basically going back to training camp, knowing who can do it. But you don't necessarily have to bring it out every week or 1 week. And you save it and you save it. And then it comes time where you're like, hey, Thanksgiving, national television, good team. This is when we're doing it. They could do it before that. They actually did a play like that earlier in the season that year against New England, and it didn't work out. It was T.J. Yeldon, if you remember, in the end zone. Was it that year? Maybe it was a different one. But those are things you might do. You just can't bring them out again, so you have to have a different way to do that. So, yes, Mike, I would say there are things that are specifically saved that you do not use, but you've already repped them. You've already worked on them. But you're not really ready to put them out yet unless you absolutely need to.
Just also, like, I think in the back of your mind the whole time would be, like, you're saving this for the playoffs. Nobody better find out that I'm saving anything for the playoffs. Because, I mean, that's cocky. So I just wonder, I mean, it'd be probably different philosophies coach to coach. By the way, when you mentioned fake punt, not exactly a fake punt, but I'm thinking about the play in Tennessee. I'm curious for your opinion on this. My take on the home run throwback thing that Tennessee tried in that game is that, okay, funny, kind of weird in the second quarter, whenever that was, different than, you know, the game is on the line. If I were Sean McDermott, I would have been ticked. Like, you're going to try that on me? I feel like he might have been mad at that.
I'll tell you how Murph reacted, and I kind of share the same sentiment, which is, like, basically, like, what, these guys weren't even born yet when that happened. Like, what are you trying to prove? Like, you're trying to rub who's these guys' noses in it or something?
Yeah.
Remind everybody? I mean, what was that for? That was for show. That was it. So you could be right. He might be ticked. At the same time, he might have been like, okay, go ahead and do something like that. Like, you did it wrong. It doesn't really matter. Go ahead. I wasn't here, and I guess it matters to the organizations, but yeah, it was kind of weird, but that's an instance where clearly they saved that for the Bills game, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because of what happened. I mean, that's that instance. They probably just worked on it that week and said, let's do this on national TV to remind everybody. But yeah, I mean, the Bills players playing now had absolutely nothing to do with that, so what are you doing?
I like that point.
I don't know that I've ever been more aware that I was being trolled and that I let it work, because it made me insane. Sale. Like, I was so upset when that happened in that game. Even the earlier, the guy, like, faking it on the kickoff return before that, it's just like, get out of here. Like, I hate Tennessee forever and ever. Amen. Now, like, this is
so, Mike,
not that I needed that, but it just enhanced my hatred of that franchise so much.
Right. Right. And so, listen, I think going back to what you mentioned earlier, Mike, which is like saving things, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills now at least have in the back of their mind, Sean McDermott wouldn't be surprised if, hey, if we meet that team again, we're going to have something special planned. Like, whatever that is, I would not be surprised, to your point of, what are you doing? Come on, getting ticked. And, oh, you want to troll us? Okay, we're going to have something up our sleeve for the next time we play you.
What did it mean to you that the Bills lost that game? Like, certainly winnable, obviously. Is it anything more than that? I mean, just like a close, good game that they lost? I mean, were there any sort of warning signs from it?
No, it's the NFL. We see it every week. It happens. I was disappointed in the defense giving up 34 points, but I think that can happen against, you know, you give up one or two big runs like they did, and Tannehill was on. And, you know, the way McDermott explained it after game basically was they started committing a little more to the run, and that leaves guys out in an island, and they have good players. We talked about that. I was disappointed, I still am, in the fact they couldn't get to Ryan Tannehill, considering that was a big advantage they should have had in the game. They didn't have any sacks. So not warning signs, just one of those games where hey, like, what happened here? Like, they didn't have their A game necessarily on that side of the ball. They still scored 31 points on offense. They missed out on some red zone opportunities, obviously. But to me, Mike, it's football. It's Monday night. It's on the road. It's against a good football team. No warning signs. You know, you have to just recover and make sure that you know that, you know, every week anything like this can happen in the league.
McDermott today on the Dolphins, I mean, he really pumped them up. He's got some hot coals he'll be dancing on here for a few weeks with his schedule. Now, look at their roster. I've done that, and I don't know. But, you know, this is what he does and what coaches do. Are they dangerous to you? How dangerous is Miami?
Well, a lot of times what I do is I think about, and I was doing this yesterday, what's the path to victory for Miami Dolphins win? If we're sitting here on Monday going, oh, my God, I can't believe the Bills lost, how did that happen? And the only way I can see it happening between these two teams are that they have to have some big plays. Like, they gotta make a few big plays, like a special teams play, a defensive score. Jalen Waddle gets loose down the sideline for a touchdown. Like, that's got to happen. And you got to make some critical mistakes as well to keep them in the game, turn the ball over, whatever. I think that's the gap between the two teams. Are they dangerous? I think they can be if they have a couple of those things go their way, because we saw that happen last year with this team. They had a couple of things go their way in games, a lot of games. They had special teams touchdowns, defensive touchdowns. They're very willing to do things on special teams. We've seen that from Danny Crossman. We've even seen it against the Buffalo Bills a couple of times. Like, that's how they can be dangerous. But I just think that you got to have all of that kind of go your way for them to be able to beat the Bills.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
How big a deal, no knocks? We don't know how long, right? But definitely not Sunday. How big a deal? He's having a nice year here so far.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal for how good of a year he's having. You know, I think it's a big deal for what you want to do with your offense, how you've integrated him, the matchup that he creates, because you're not getting that same matchup situation with Tommy Sweeney. I do think, though, that having a guy like Reggie Gilliam helps. You know, you can kind of really work him in different scenarios and ways and really to your advantage, maybe, because the other team hasn't seen him a lot do all these different things yet. He's not on the field very often. He was last game in Kansas City as well. But Tommy Sweeney, as you guys have heard me say many times, great hands. The guy just catches everything. He's just not the athlete of the mismatch that Dawson Knox is, but you can rely on him in the passing game. You can rely on him in the run game. So in this against this team, for the next few weeks, I don't think it's as big of a deal if they were playing some of the more heavy hitters of the league or the conference, if you will. But yeah, I mean, it's a loss because he's having a sensational season, and he's a guy that you really rely on to be a big part of your offense.
Quickly, do you have like a player who benefits the most? Like, maybe just Sweeney plays Knox's role, or maybe we see Davis or somebody else step up.
Keep your eye on Kahale Waring.
Okay.
He is the practice squad tight end that they have. You know, I saw him out there working today, and he was talking a lot with Rob Boris, their tight ends coach, and I just kept thinking, I wonder if they elevate him this week. Now, he may not play. I just think that could be a guy that you – maybe he gets some run this week. Maybe he plays a little bit. I do think Reggie Gilliam comes into play a lot here, though, Mike, to answer your question about who could benefit the most on the field. I think it's Reggie Gilliam. I think he has a bigger role because of this.
All right. Waring, former Houston Texan.
Yeah.
One quickie. Joe Flacco was traded to the Jets by the Eagles a day or two ago. Wouldn't you be there by now if you were Flacco? Like, he's just going to take his time showing up.
Is he not there yet? I don't even know.
He's not active this week. He's just not there yet.
Well, you know, I know he should know. You know, does he know the system? New OC and everything? I don't know. It takes a little time,
does
I guess.
Does he care about the system? Is he going to call the real plays anyway if they put him on the field?
They still haven't put Wilson on IR, though, right? I don't think so.
I don't think so. White was announced for this week. And when is that game? I get the Colts and the Jets game mixed up. Which game comes first?
The Jets game is in 3 weeks. So if he's put on IR, he misses that game. If he's not, he can come back for that game. But my sense is he will be not playing in that game. And they have until here's what you'll see. Saturday at 4 p.m. is the deadline, basically, for any transactions this week. If they feel he's going to probably be out three games, they'll put him on IR. They can save the roster spot. If he's not put on IR, that means they probably feel he's going to come back for the Bills game.
Yeah, that's right, because the injury seems like at least a two-week injury.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
There you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Couple thoughts next on the latest trend. Just absolutely stuffing your yard with gravestones of quarterbacks you sacked. And where does that trend stop? Has Pete Rose yet created a yard of gravestones of the pitchers he has hits off of in his career? Is that are we working on that? Are we going to have that?
Some acreage there, I think, for that.
Yeah. How about Gretzky? How about goalies? Gretzky and goalies. Are those gravestone worthy? Is that a gravestone worthy idea? 803-0550. The Dolphins, the Sabres, we're here for your calls throughout the day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I mean, he has the most receiving yards through the first 7 weeks of the season of any rookie in NFL history. You know, that pretty much says it. Like, think of some of the seasons that rookies have had, whether it's Justin Jefferson, Randy Moss. There have been some incredible rookie years, and Chase has more yards than any of them through 7 games. Now, you know, what he's doing is incredible, and it feels a little bit unsustainable. I don't think he'll keep this pace for the entire year, but we can see the transformative effect he's had on this offense. The debate about do you take a tackle or do you take a wide receiver to fix the ills of this Bengals offense, I mean, it's been answered. Like, they went with Ja'Marr Chase, and it couldn't have worked out any better for them.
Sam Monson, PFF, with us Tuesdays through the season. That's a clip from his visit yesterday talking about Bengals rookie receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who has been spectacular so far. The Bengals have the Jets this week. Mike White. Who is he again?
West Virginia? No, that was Pat White.
He's the third Mike White when you search him on Wikipedia.
There was an Illinois coach, Mike White, in the 80s. He might not be.
That Mike White is fourth.
He's fourth.
Mike White, filmmaker, is number one.
There was an astronaut named Mike White.
And then basketball player, number two.
There was the mayor of Topeka.
Fifth round pick of the Cowboys in 2018 out of Western Kentucky.
Wow.
Okay.
And he threw his first pass this past Sunday.
Right. He threw a lot of passes on Sunday. A lot of them to Michael Carter, by the way.
He was the career highlights. Conference USA Newcomer of the Year in 2016. That's it.
You know what they say about that?
They don't say anything about that.
What do they say about that?
Can't ever take it away from them.
That's right. The Conference Newcomer of the Year.
Conference USA Newcomer of the Year.
Newcomer. Wow. Newcomer. Newcomer. He's a newcomer.
That'd be a tough award.
Who's that over there?
That'd be a tough award to win twice.
Yes. Has anybody ever won Newcomer of the Year in two different conferences?
I won Most Improved Player 2 years in a row.
You did? Softball?
Yes. Hockey, yeah.
Hockey.
Most Improved Player. And I thought, oh, this is not good.
It's not nice.
No, it doesn't. It didn't feel good. Like, what am I even doing on this team? Wow. I mean, 2 years in a row. Oh, yeah. I wasn't.
It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Right?
Nah. It's just a backhand. I think it's not even.
Well, they're like, no, you were a lot better. Congratulations. Good job. Here's a trophy.
Right.
You got a lot better. Wait a minute. How bad do you think I was? It's one way of looking at it.
Yep.
Do you think Flacco's delayed arrival there could be because Mike White wears number five?
Flacco's the worst.
I mean, he's the guy that refused to help any young quarterback he was ever
with. I'm not here for that. They draft Lamar Jackson.
I could see him being the guy that says, I'm not getting there until I get number five.
Does he really? Is he worn five everywhere else he's been now? I don't remember what he wore in Denver.
Denver. You just reminded me that he played for Denver. I think that came up yesterday, and I'd already forgotten it again.
He started four games for the Jets last year, by the way.
Yes.
Who then chose not to re-sign him and then trade a fifth-round pick to get him back 3 months
later. That's terrible, right?
That's horrible.
He wore seven for the Eagles.
Okay, so he's fine. Probably.
Okay. So it's not like he's like, I got to have five. Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But is that not terrible? Like, should should the Jets be trading a draft pick for Joe Flacco? Should they be doing that?
After just having Joe Flacco.
At 1-6?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
When we call Dan Leberfeld the next time, is he going to tell us how good the GM is? I don't mean that toward Dan, but Dan has been on several times. Yep. He's talked about Joe Douglas. I don't know if I remember this right. I want to be a little careful. I don't remember him so much saying it of his own opinion, but here's a well-respected guy. And that's what I heard from other people too. It seemed like, the Jet guy, he made a couple of good moves, but that team is his team. And Zach Wilson, I don't know. That is not off to a good start.
Well, it's hard to say otherwise at this point.
It is.
Throws it to the other teams a lot. I mean, I should stop referencing that I liked him in the summer against Green Bay or something. It's not really pertinent anymore.
In the summer,
real games in which he has really struggled. So yeah.
In the summer, we loved Zach Wilson and didn't love Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
Hey, AFC East. So we're talking about the Dolphins, who are here this week, 1-6, still continuing the Watson flirtation and may even have a deal. That was last night, just without the legal stuff figured out, which is massive. But
Watson wants
the Dolphins and they want him. Don't we all sort of know
that
now?
Seems obvious. Yes, that seems obvious. Yeah, but the idea that they've got a trade worked out, aside from that, I'm gonna go take Charlie Watts's place in the Rolling Stones. I just gotta learn the songs first. Okay, yeah, great. Sounds good. Yeah, when will you be there? How long is it going to take you to learn their catalog? Oh, the rest of your life? Okay, good luck.
Hey, by the way, I think we might have a little delay here, but I still want to say this. Speaking of Charlie Watts, there's a good Netflix documentary on drummers.
Oh.
I'm not sure it's new, but it was good. I watched it recently. And he's, of course, mentioned. I say, of course, I know anything. But it's certain famous drummers, I don't know if I'd ever heard of any of them, are profiled, and they talk about sort of the history of it and what makes it great and all these sort of things. You'd like it.
All right, good. Thank you. I don't think I've ever watched a documentary about drummers. I've watched a few things about just sidemen and backup singers and things like that, but I don't think I've ever seen something specifically on drummers. And I'm always – look, with the weather turning, I'm going to need stuff to watch while I'm riding the bike in the basement. So, it's good to have things. I know there's plenty of stuff out there, but I'm taking suggestions, so thank you.
I believe, if I remember correctly, it's called Count Me In. That's the name of it.
Okay. All right.
AFC East, I wanted to bring this up anyway. So you've got the Dolphins and their own problems, 1-6. I don't know. Probably Watson ends up as their quarterback, and that may not be good for the Bills, but okay. They did the Tua thing, and we're all sort of watching each other to see if they can, who can find their quarterback, and everybody's trying, but the Dolphins look like maybe they're done already with their guy, who I don't think is terrible, but I'm not sure he's great either. So, Miami. The Jets are just always bad. And now here we are again, another new coach, another new quarterback, and their problems appear to be everywhere. 54 points by the Patriots. See, Damian Woody blasting them for this one play in that game where they couldn't block a three-man rush. There's a little two-minute video of Damian Woody doing that. Like, you guys, what is the problem? There's no communication. Like, all these flaws in the Jets. So there's nothing new there. They might be the worst team in the league. Miami might be the worst team in the league. There's the Bills, and then there's New England. Is this respectable? Over the years, with lousy Bills teams, or just mediocre, right? They weren't usually terrible. They were just in the middle or just below average. Hey, guys, a couple of plays, and instead we are this. And I was always rolling my eyes at that. Like, you know what? That goes both ways, and I don't want to hear the couple of plays speech. Can you say New England is two plays from 5-2? When you think about the Dallas loss and the Tampa loss, how would you roll your eyes? They're 3-4 with a Tampa loss that ended up on a field goal missing on the last play. And the Dallas game was even crazier. Like, they had the lead twice late, and, you know, they lost the game. What would I say in the other example? I'd be like, well, that happened. Those things happened. But as sort of maybe taking them for granted, as we all kind of collectively might be doing, they're 3-4 with those games.
And even before they had, like, I think Mac Jones is a real upgrade at quarterback from Cam Newton. And in one game last year, the Bills needed a late takeaway to keep the Patriots from beating them at home. Like, that's already been on my mind. And like, watching them against Tampa, watching most of that Dallas game, I didn't see any of the Jet blowout, but I doubt it was really all that informative. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Just clubbing a terrible team. I don't, like, just lump the New England games in with the rest of the schedule is really easy. Like, they're not, like, it doesn't rate as, like, the Tampa game, okay? But it's, to me, it's the same as the Colt games. Maybe even tougher. The Colt game, excuse me. Like, the New England games is how I look at them. So, I mean, I don't know. And that's before you're even making I hadn't thought of it that way. It's fine to think of it that way. I'm also kind of rolling my eyes because it's just, you know, Josh Allen doesn't slip. They're 5-1. Blah blah blah. Right. Whatever.
Yep.
So I, you know, that you know, rationale is fun to talk about, I think, but I usually dispose of it as soon as I'm done talking about it. I stop thinking about it. But with that said, I don't – the Patriots are still, to me, watching them handle Tampa the way they did, you know, I know what the Bills did to them last year, but they were really down with guys out, and they've got guys back. So I'm not looking at those games as – like, when I think of the Bills are going to lose a couple more games, a loss to New England would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah, like, depends on who your team is, right? Like, the Bills have, they're 4-2, and they have two close games, and they lost both. When you win close games, your fans tell you why that's a good thing. Last year, the Bills were, they only had one loss that was a one-score game. They might have had four wins, they might have had more. The Colt game in the playoffs was also one. Like, they won their close games. The only one they lost was on the Hail Mary in Arizona. And so, like, what does the average guy tell you? Well, that's a good sign. It means they're clutch. It means that they never quit. I mean, the kinds of things that coach would say after the press at the press conference, right, to sort of laud his team. Really, what numbers will tell you is, like, yeah, you don't want to be in close games. If you're dominant, you want to dominate. And so the Bills have, they're 4-2. They have two close games this year. They lost both. And because those things usually regress anyway, it's not surprising at all that one team would be the same, you know, one year or the next. It'd be different like that. But they have four, if you include Kansas City, like, they have four dominant wins. The other three are easily dominant. You'd easily call them that. Yeah. The Chief game, you could. And so, like, that's better. And they had that last year, too. But, and so New England, you know, They just put up 54. And when we're talking about the Bills, maybe we're defensive when they're playing Houston and Washington. You know, like, oh, hey, wait, you still got to do it. And what we said, or what I remember, I know I would have said about those games, is they did the best you can do. They crushed those teams, right? Like, even the Dolphins. Yep. They crushed those teams. That's what you do. That's how you make those games into anything meaningful, is you don't just get by. You dominate. New England did just do that against the Jets. They were right there against the Cowboys and the Bucs. I think most of the time we've talked about the Patriots, we've talked about other games, like New Orleans. Like, oh, geez, I mean, what happened there? 0-4 at home, these kinds of things. But I don't know. Where do they rank?
Do you have it? I don't. I can find it on Twitter. I think you posted it.
I just unplugged my headphones. It's just so close for me, Joe. See how close this is to reach? I can't, with the headphones on, I cannot. So, I don't know. I can't see it from where I'm. I don't know why I don't have it in front of me or why it even matters. Right. Playoff team, even money right now, yes or no, New England?
No.
And you know what helps is they have 3 wins against the Jets and Dolphins already. They haven't played the Bills yet.
They've lost to the Dolphins, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're 2-1 then against the Dolphins and Jets. Sorry. They beat the Jets twice. They lost to Miami. Wow. I guess that's even worse.
We have them 10th in the reverse power rankings.
Even money to make the playoffs. You guys both say no? Let me think about it. We might have action. 803-0550 to call in. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. We'll get back into Bills Dolphins next hour. Love to hear from some fans. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Bon Shenick and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. 803-0550 to call in. Maybe we'll play a game later. It's also Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day for a chance to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Stakeout. Jim's Stakeout celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs.
Man, I could do some hoagie damage right now.
Subdraft. Oh. Yes.
Sub or all sandwiches? Because we might... Would you run out of subs?
I
want to
open that hot dog Pandora's box right here.
Right.
All sandwiches? Okay. What's number one?
There's probably not enough depth to sub. You know, you just get to, like, you know, what? Assorted cold cut sub.
You know, I'm telling you what, the Royal is one of the top 5 things living in Buffalo.
Dude.
Top 5 thing in Buffalo.
We actually have a food take from you that I 100% agree with. Yes.
Top the
Royal
5.
Is the bomb.
And I feel like I knew this in college. Because in Rochester, forget it.
Yeah.
What do you want? Sausage and capicola on the same roll?
Yeah.
Just forget it. At least then. That was the case then.
Not enough places. Listen, I go way back with the Royal. And we, at Santora's, when I worked there, we used to fry the capicola and then put it on there. And not enough places do that. In fact... you do everything online now, so there's no even having a conversation about it with anyone. It's not something like they don't offer that as an option, like, you know, preparation details, you know, like, fry my capicola, please. But when I used to call places, I would ask, like, would you please fry the capicola too? Because it's way better if you have that on fried and as opposed to just cold on there.
I have probably tried it, but I really don't know that I've ever known the difference. I've never thought of this.
I live with it unfried because it's just that's just the way of the world. But I'm telling you, if you have a chance to get it fried, like if you go to a actual sub place and order at the counter and can ask them to do that, give it a whirl, everyone. It is a game changer on that sub.
Wow, good information, people.
We just open this up to all subs. Can I draft the Red October?
This is like Tom Sitch drafting the Liger, I believe.
Yes.
Right. Oh, all animals?
U-boats.
Wow.
What is the Red October? Let me guess.
Oh, this would be good, Joe.
I'm surprised he even needs the guess.
Why? What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, this is
more... Is that a compliment?
I think it's more your time than mine.
He knows so much, I would know this.
You should just know what...
What the Red October is?
Yeah.
Pumpkin? No. apples? Apples and salami. No, like a cold cut thing with...
It's not actually a sandwich. Pumpernickel? Like, that's the problem. It's not. It's a submarine.
It's a submarine that Sean Connery...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Captained in a movie.
Did I just fall? Like, I just fell hard.
A little bit.
Hunt for Red October.
Fell right into it.
Never seen it. That's a sub in the... That's what that is? Okay.
Yeah, they're looking for...
Never knew that.
The submarine, yeah.
Never knew. That's okay.
That's a classic.
Hunt. Yes. That there's a hunt involved. Never, ever knew that. That feels good. It isn't something I just forgot. Just never knew that.
You're on the right track. If it was going to be a sandwich, there was going to be pumpkin,
pumpkin
on a sub called the Red October.
And goat
pumpkin
cheese.
Pumpkin and apples and goat cheese.
on whole grain bread with seeds.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Every October, an October sandwich. What would an October sandwich consist of?
Dirty leaves.
Dirty leaves.
The dirty leaf hoagie. And throw some cheese whiz on there, you're good to go. Here's your fall is elite.
It comes in a costume. It comes in a box instead of a bag. All right, fun. Bills and Dolphins this week. Something that makes this game stand out in the Bills and Dolphins history when we get back here after sports. And it's connected to a question that we asked Sal. So maybe you were listening to that and thought a certain part of that discussion was interesting. We'll get back to it after sports here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.